The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
This is the Bloomberg Daybreak Europe podcast, available every morning on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. It's Friday, the 19th of April here in London. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Tom McKenzie. Coming up today, targeting Iran. US officials tell Bloomberg Israel has struck the country less than a week after Tehran's rocket and drone barrage.
Stocks slump and haven assets surge. Markets react to fears of growing escalation in the Middle East, but Iran appears to downplay the developments.
Plus, Project Timber, a potential nationalisation of Thames Water, could mean some creditors facing losses of up to 40%.
Let's start with a roundup of our top stories.
Israel has launched a missile strike on Iran. That is according to US officials speaking to Bloomberg. But Iran appears to be downplaying the developments. One Iranian news agency says an explosion was heard in the city of Isfahan, while the state broadcaster says they've received no reports of damage after air defense systems reactivated. It follows Tehran's drone and missile attack on Israel over the weekend, which in turn was retaliation for the bombing of an Iranian consulate in Damascus at the beginning of April. Bloomberg's EMEA news director Ros Matteson says there are a number of targets Israel may have been targeting in the region.
That's a city that houses a number of military bases, but also some key parts of Iran's nuclear facilities. And we know that there's been some sizable blasts that have happened there.
Ros Matteson reporting there as we continue, of course, to follow developments on this story. Bloomberg understands that Israeli officials notified the US yesterday that they plan to retaliate in the next 24 to 48 hours. World leaders had been exerting heavy diplomatic pressure on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to show restraint in his response. However, Netanyahu and his political allies had made clear that they would take action.
Global markets have been reacting to fears of escalating tensions in the Middle East. Oil prices hit more than $90 a barrel on Brent crude futures before pulling back slightly. Traders had been anticipating a response from Israel to last weekend's attack. Nathan Sheets, global chief economist at Citigroup, says so far things are contained.
I think at the moment the market's telling us that the balance of risks here looks to be reasonably favorable. And the response in the oil market has been contained. And if that's the correct assessment, then I think the broader implications of this are it doesn't escalate and we're able to continue on more or less in the status quo.
So that was the global chief economist at Citigroup, Nathan Sheets, speaking to us just earlier on Bloomberg Radio. The news did also spark a flight to haven assets. The dollar and yen rallied along with US treasuries, whilst equities in Asia sold off. Gold also surged close to a record high before paring some of the gains.
Now, the International Atomic Energy Agency says there was no damage to Iran's nuclear sites. The confirmation comes just hours after a top Iranian general said his country may reconsider its nuclear policies if Israel threatens to attack its atomic sites. Meanwhile, the UK and US issued new sanctions on Iran, targeting organisations and leaders, including the chief of its army. British Foreign Secretary David Cameron says it's about sending a message.
Given Iran's behaviour in backing the Houthis, backing Hezbollah, backing Hamas, and of course the appalling state-on-state attack on Israel, it's quite right that with partners we take further action on sanctions.
David Cameron spoke as he joined G7 foreign ministers at a summit in Italy to discuss the situation in the Middle East.
US lawmakers in the House of Representatives are expected to vote this weekend on long-delayed military aid for Israel, Ukraine and Taiwan. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the details.
House Speaker Mike Johnson says he expects to bring up split Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan aid bills tomorrow. The chair of the House Intelligence Committee, Mike Turner, on Bloomberg's Balance of Power, says he thinks it is essential to get aid going to Ukraine this week.
They are running out of ammunition. Russia is certainly surging and putting additional pressure on that front line. And also the lack of U.S. support is impacting morale even in Ukraine.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries says Democrats are going to do what's necessary to get this across the finish line. The Senate looks to move next week. Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Radio.
Switching focus now, and Netflix has reported its best start to the year since 2020. The streaming giant added over 9 million new customers in the first 3 months of 2024, more than had been expected. But shares fell in after-hours trading on a slightly weaker-than-expected revenue forecast for the second quarter. Netflix also announced it would stop sharing quarterly membership numbers. Co-CEO Ted Sarandos says they prefer to focus on other metrics.
So happy members watch more, they stick around longer, they tell friends, which all grows engagement, revenue, and profit, our North Stars. And we believe that those are the measurements of success in streaming.
Netflix co-CEO Ted Sarandos speaking there. Netflix says about 40% of its new members are selecting its cheaper advertising-supported version, adding to earnings.
Lenders to Thames Water could face losses of as much as 40% if the company is nationalised. That's according to a contingency plan dubbed Project Timber, drawn up by government officials, which explores how nationalising the highly indebted utility would work. Officials at the Department for Environment and Rural Affairs declined to answer questions about the contingencies being drawn up. Thames Water had postponed a required update to its business plan due to be released today, according to people familiar with the matter. A new proposal is now expected next week. And those were a few of our top stories today.
OK, let's get the latest then on the events in the Middle East after US officials, of course, told Bloomberg that Israel had struck targets in Iran. There are conflicting reports, as we said, from Iranian news agencies about exactly what has happened. Dana Kreish, our Middle East breaking news editor, joins us now. Dana, let's start there then. What do we know at this point?
Good morning. So initial reports from Iran suggest there was some sort of an attack, as reports trickled in the early hours of the morning, of a blast over Isfahan, where we know there are military sites and nuclear infrastructure. So the blasts are likely the result of what Iranian media is saying is a defense systems activated to intercept what has now we know are drones. We also had a report out that the nuclear site there is completely safe. And that's, of course, reassuring as Iran and Israel are arch rivals, but they also have nuclear programs. And some hours later, we saw the media there in Iran downplaying, with some reporters even calling these flying objects miniature drones, and I quote. But maybe wouldn't go that far, because we know U.S. officials told Bloomberg that Israel had launched a retaliatory airstrike. And in Iran also, we're seeing live footage on state TV showing life is normal in Isfahan. There are no strikes or the aftermath of a strike.
Okay, so that's what's been happening in Iran. What have been the statements and the signals out of Israel?
So in Israel has not said or taken responsibility for this attack. And usually they don't do that for anything or any operations they're suspected of doing abroad. But it seems maybe that Netanyahu had heeded those calls from the U.S. and its allies in the West, asking it not to respond in a way that would drag the entire region into a full-blown war. Because it feels really with every strike, with every retaliatory attack, we are on the edge here. The most recent comment that we had is from the national security minister on Twitter, with just a simple word calling these attacks weak. So here again, Netanyahu is in a dilemma between his allies in the West and the U.S. telling them not to respond too harshly, and you have the hardliners asking him to do it, and they are now perhaps criticizing that exact response.
Okay, so that's the debate that continues within Israel. As you say, retaliation for retaliation for retaliation. Meanwhile, in Iran, what are officials there saying? We had some very strong words coming out from one of the officials in the UN yesterday before, of course, this attack, at least according to US officials. What are the Iranian officials saying now?
So the most recent thing we have is on the terminal, of course, is Iran's army chief saying Israel has already seen our reaction. This may be a good indication that Iran might not retaliate. And them downplaying this on state-run media means that there is no reason for Iran to retaliate. Now, that's also a good sign, but it remains to be seen along the day what really happened inside Iran.
Yeah, and so in terms of putting it into perspective, Dana, in terms of an escalation, is it being seen as an escalation so far? Another tit for tat? How are people thinking about this?
I mean, with every attack, I think it is an escalation because you always run the risk of someone overplaying their hand or making a mistake in an attack that would just infuriate the other party. So like I said before, in the region, we're really on the edge here with every single attack as we try to anticipate what the response would be. So yes, there still is an escalation, although this time around, Iran might not want to respond back.
Okay, Dana Kreish, thank you so much for your time this morning and for your reporting. That is our Bloomberg Middle East news editor, Dana Kreish.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Collaborate for a greener future at the Bloomberg Green Festival, a groundbreaking celebration of the thinkers, doers, and innovators leading the way, from design and culture to technology, science, and entertainment. Hear from inspirational speakers and immerse yourself in climate solutions, July 10th through 13th in Seattle. Title sponsor, Amazon. Official airline, Alaska Airlines. Get 20% off using promo code RADIO20 at BloombergLive.com/Green Festival.
Okay, now treasuries, of course, rallying, yields lower, but giving up some of those gains. It was really pronounced straight after the news of this attack. Now yields are up just between 3 to 5 basis points across the treasury curve. The dollar remains bid, but again, the moves into the dollar have eased as well. If you look at the Bloomberg Dollar Index, for the context then on the market moves around this crucial geopolitical story, let's bring in our managing editor for FX and rates, Rachel Evans. Rachel, talk to us about what you've been seeing in the FX and bond markets and the reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had a very classic reaction that we would normally find to geopolitical risk this morning. You know, you typically see sort of treasuries, really kind of rallying into geopolitical risk. You see the dollar rallying. We've seen gold up, oil up. I mean, this is really kind of a very textbook example. I think one of the things that I'm kind of keen to see how it plays out over the next few days is the degree to which sort of tensions in the Middle East can keep that haven bid for assets like treasuries going. You know, we've definitely seen upward pressure on yields being kind of the theme of the moment, all the talk about inflation, how much the Fed can cut this year. So whether sort of the geopolitical risk can stir a kind of longer lasting bid for treasuries than perhaps just one day, I think kind of remains to be seen. That alongside carry trades, which I think have been getting really badly hit, I think it's going to be really interesting to see whether we see some of those unwind as some of the traditional funders of carry trades, the Swiss franc and the yen, have a haven bid on this news.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, talk us through some of the more preferred haven bids that we saw this morning. I mean, there were quite a lot actually that saw significant moves.
Yeah, I mean, on the currency side, Swiss franc has really been kind of the standout performer of the day. You know, obviously that's a classic sort of a haven bid. And the yen as well, you know, getting a bit of strength, which I'm sure is definitely something that the Japanese authorities are happy to see, just given that the yen has very much been under pressure recently. So, you know, obviously these currencies, because they have been weak in recent months, have been used as kind of the funding leg of the carry trade to buy higher higher yielding currencies like the Mexican peso. And we saw some of those unwinding earlier today, the peso in particular getting absolutely hammered. You know, it's a very kind of risk on currency. So when we do see risk off sort of sentiment, that does tend to kind of pair. So over the next few days, like if we do see a kind of like a bigger kind of pickup in some of those rallies in Swiss franc and yen, we could see some quite painful unwindings of some of those carry trades around the world.
Yeah, the Mexican peso move was interesting, wasn't it? And as you say, the carry trades are borrowing in yen, buying in the higher yielding Mexican currency. When it comes to clearly the Middle East is the top story right now for us and for the markets. But this week as well, the key theme prior to this was the adjustment to a more hawkish Fed. How are the markets? How does that tie in to what you've been watching?
Yeah. Well, whenever you see geopolitical turmoil, there's that question about whether we're going to see sort of a hot war and how that then ties into oil prices. You know, oil prices going up is all else being equal an inflationary effect. But given that you already have central bankers thinking about sticky inflation and the degree to which they can sort of cut rates while inflation stays pretty hot, if you have inflationary pressures coming in through from oil as well, that just adds another kind of tricky sort of calculation for central bankers to be weighing in. So if anything, kind of the geopolitical situation just really makes the job for central bankers harder as they think about their own economies and whether they can actually cut rates this year.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal wherever you get your podcasts.
And watch on Bloomberg Originals, Bloomberg Television, or BTV+.